radio akwa bia si eye
Radio Akwa 104.6 FM. It's another Tuesday again. Yours truly, I'm in the studio here with you again. It's another wonderful Tuesday again, and I believe you've been blessed. You had a wonderful week, and I believe your lives have been changed, you've been transformed. Yours truly, I'm in the studio here again. Yours truly, and like you always say, the unofficial mayor, I'm in the studio here, the commander-in-chief of the airwaves on Tuesday, 5:55 to 7:15. This program is sponsored by the Ghana Association of New Zealand. I've got a wonderful man of God right in the studio here with me, and very soon he's going to come with you with a word right from the throne room of grace. This one coming from the camp of Abu Salam Martin says, Arabaribiti, great and mighty God. Your God. God is great and your God is mighty. This is coming from the camp of Busola Martin. I've got a wonderful man of God right from the Redeemed Christian Church in the city here with me. And he's got a word for you. And I go, he's got a word for a friend. He's got a word for a brother. He's got a word for a sister, somebody out there, a colleague out there. And I believe your life will never be the same. He carries the anointing of the Lord, and that anointing is here to touch your life. Well, he's nobody than Pastor... the pastor from the Redeemed Christian Church is right in the studio here with me, and man of God, the audience are all yours.
Okay, thank you very much, our presenter. Good evening, everybody. I want to bless the name of God for the privilege to be here again on Radio Akwaba. The program name is Gospel Time, and we are happy at the Redeemed Christian Church of God to host this session. My prayer is that God will bless you real good tonight in Jesus' name. My name is Pastor David Adilo. I'm the pastor in charge of RCCG here in New Zealand. And I want to use this opportunity to bless the name of God for all our brethren that has been helping to share the word of God on this platform. I want to thank Dr. Samuel Ekundayo. I want to thank Deaconess Busola Martin, and I want to thank my very wife, Dr. Adesayo Adelowo, for the time they have given to host to share on this platform. It is my prayer for every one of you, your anointing will not run dry in Jesus' name. And I want to use this opportunity to say happy wedding anniversary to my lovely wife, Dr. Adesayo. It's been 25 years now. And we give all the glory to God. Before I share what the Lord has laid in my heart tonight, let's just say a word of prayer. Almighty Father, we thank you for this privilege that you have returned again unto us to be here on Radio Akwaba to share your word. Almighty Father, I ask that your mighty hand and presence will go ahead tonight in the mighty name of Jesus. The Bible said you sent your word, and your word heal, and your word deliver. I decree by the power in the name of Jesus that your word tonight will heal and will deliver somebody tonight from all their diseases and destruction in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. So tonight, by the grace of God, the question that God has impressed in my heart to ask a listener tonight on this platform is, where is your expectation? I repeat, where is your expectation? Expectation, you know, is described in the dictionary as the act or state of looking forward to something or anticipating something. Another definition says the degree of probability that something will occur. So it is important for us to know, or from my little understanding, I know that everybody have an expectation. That is, no man born of a woman, you know, that is not having an expectation, or that is exempted, you know, when it comes to expectation. Either you are young or old, either you are male or female, either you are brown, black, or white, we all have expectation. But the reality of our existence is that not all expectation come to pass. or not all expectation, you know, are met. And it's been, you know, in my little research, you know, I've come to conclude that almost all, you know, the problems like dissatisfaction, disappointment, dejection, depression, disillusion, disaffection, and so on, all come from, you know, an expectation that is not met. So, like I said, expectation is a God-given drive or desire in every one of us. And that is why it's a good thing to have an expectation. But the real question that we need to ask is that, in as much as we all have expectations, it is important for us to know that what is key to any expectation being met is where you put the expectation. So the question this evening is that, where is your expectation? I'm asking you. And it's a question that you must ask yourself, that where do I put my expectation? Where do you put your expectation? Because if your expectation is going to be met in this life, then where you put that expectation is important. And it is my prayer that God today will help us and help our understanding in the mighty name of Jesus. And from the Bible perspective, if you look at Psalm 146, Psalm 146, when you look at verse 3 and 4, Psalm 146, verse 3 and 4, you know, this is telling us we are not to put our expectation, because a lot of people today, like I said, most of the problem or disappointment, dejection, depression, disillusion, disaffection, you know, diseases, whatever we can name it, disappointment, you know, comes from when we put our expectation in places, you know, that are not okay. Then we are bound to what? To meet with what? With failure. And I pray that God will help us and help our understanding in Jesus' name. Look at what Psalm 146 is saying. He said, put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. And his breath goeth forth and returneth to his head. In that very day, his thought perish. Praise the Lord. So you can see, like I said, where you put your expectation, where I put my expectation, is key to if the expectation is going to be met or not. And that is why the scripture, you know, the Bible is advising us that we must not put our trust in the princes, you know, nor in the son of man. Because, you see, your expectation is your trust. Your expectation is your belief. Your expectation is your hope. And where you put it is very, very important. And the Bible is encouraging us now that we should not put our trust in the princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. And the Bible did not leave us in darkness concerning this fact. So, which means if any expectation is going to be met at all, that expectation must be well placed, must be right placed. And so the Bible is not telling us where not to put our expectation. And I pray that as many that are putting their expectation in the hand of man, God will open your eyes of understanding. God will open your eyes of understanding, and you will withdraw such expectation and you put it where it should be in the mighty name of Jesus. When look at Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 4. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 4. Go on to say that, take ye heed, every one of his neighbor, and trust ye not in any brother, for every brother will utterly supplant, and every neighbor will walk with slanders. Amen. So this scripture is going on to establish that we cannot just put our expectation in a man, in human being like ourselves. Here he's saying that, you know, we must be weary of even our neighbor and not trust any of our brothers. So what we are saying in essence is that the reason why certain expectations are not met is because of where we place the expectation. And the Bible is now telling us, you know, that these are wrong places to place our expectation. We can't place our expectation in any human system. Why? Because they are bound to fail. And that's exactly what the scripture is saying. And I pray that God will help us, will help our understanding in Jesus' name. The same fact is established, you know, in Micah chapter 7, verse 5. Micah chapter 7 verse 5 says, trust ye not in a friend. Put ye not confidence in a guide. Keep the door of thy mouth from her that lieth in thy bosom. Amen. So you can see, you know, God is saying that your expectation, that expectation is God-given. Expectation to want to do well in life. Expectation, you know, to want to prosper. Expectation to want to succeed. But you must understand that this expectation, as legitimate as they are, where you place such expectation determines the outcome, determines what comes out of that expectation. And that is why today a lot of us, we put our confidence, we put our expectation, we put our trust, you know, in things that are not stable. And that is why when such expectations are not met, that's why a lot of people have depression today. That's why a lot of people have dejection today. They have disappointment. They have all kind of things. Why? Because they have placed their expectation in wrong things, in wrong places. They have placed their expectation in human institution. And they are bound to fail. Even the Bible says that there is no stone live on one on top of one another in this life that will not come down. So which means as children of God, we must understand where to place our expectation. And I pray that God today will help us, will help our understanding in the mighty name of Jesus. So what that means is that there is a place that you and I must put our expectation. We must play as our expectation. And that is the recommended place. And I pray that God today will help us and help our understanding in the mighty name of Jesus. Look at what 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 9 says. It says, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raised the dead. Amen. Even the scripture goes on to say that you cannot even place your expectation in yourself. You know, a lot of people today wake up and they boast and they do everything, you know, but without God, such expectation cannot be met. And that's why we are even asked here not to even trust ourselves, not to even put our expectation in ourselves. Why? Because we can die anytime, any day. So that's why no man can determine what happens even in the next minute. And that's why putting our expectation even on ourselves is a no-no. And it is my prayer that God today will help us help our understanding in Jesus' name. But in that 2 Corinthians verse 1, it said that, but in God which raised the dead. Amen. So our expectation must be in God and in God alone. And until we understand, you know, that it is only in God that we must put our expectation, that is what guarantees the expectation from coming to pass. And I pray that God today will help us and help our understanding in Jesus' name. Because when we look at Psalm 20 verse 7, Psalm 20 verse 7 says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Amen. So which means some expectations are misplaced. And that's why such expectations are not met. And that's why such expectation comes, you know, with disappointment or with disillusion. And that's why a lot of people today, they are brokenhearted. Why? Because they put their expectation, you know, where, you know, they are not supposed to put it. And once you do that, you know, the result, you know, is bound to happen the way it happened. But God is saying here that, you know, we can't be like them that put their trust in chariots, that put their trust in horses. Amen. Because all these things are controlled by elemental forces. Praise the living Jesus. You know, if you put your trust in share market, for example, you know, the whole world is just coming out of recession now. It is called that, you know, when some people, they put their trust in all these material things. And when they collapse, then that is end of their life. I remember the last recession, a lot of millionaires committed suicide. Why? Because they put their expectation, you know, in the performance of those shares. And when the shares doesn't perform very well, then they become bankrupt, then they lose everything. And that is how unstable, you know, when we put our expectation in all these things that can fail. But I pray that today there's somebody out there, you will remember to withdraw all your expectation from every other thing and put it in God in the mighty name of Jesus. Because when you look at Proverbs chapter 23, verse 18, Proverbs 23:18 says, "For surely there is an end, and thy expectation shall not be cut off." And the only expectation that will see the light of the day, the only expectation that will come to pass, is the expectation that is well placed in God. It's the expectation that is well placed in Christ Jesus. That is the only expectation that the devil cannot tamper with. That's the only expectation that the devil cannot foil. And I pray that God today will help us and help our understanding in Jesus' name. Remember, the Bible says in John chapter 10, verse 10, that the thief has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So, which means no matter how secure your expectation is, because we still have the devil around, he can steal that expectation. He can foil that expectation. He can destroy that expectation. And that's why we have a lot of disappointment, you know, all over the place today. Why? Because the devil is at work. But Jesus Christ said, "I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly." So, which means it is the expectation that we put in Christ Jesus, it's the expectation that we put in the name of the Lord. Those are the expectations that are guaranteed to come to pass. And it is my prayer that tonight somebody will come to that understanding. And we draw all his or our expectation from every other thing and bring them back to God in the mighty name of Jesus. And this is exactly what David is saying in Psalm 62, verse 5. In Psalm 62, verse 5, David said, "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him." Amen. I pray that somebody, you know, will come to that realization today and just emulate David. Just try it. Amen. Tonight. Just try it tonight. You know, put your expectation in God. You know, David is saying that for surely, David is saying that, "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him." I pray there's somebody out there, you know, that tonight you will take your expectation from every other thing and you will be like David and put it back, you know, into God's hand. And because it's only God that can guarantee such expectation, you know, coming to pass. And that's why he's saying that Proverbs said that surely there is an end. You know, that expectation shall not be cut off. It's only God that the Bible described that his word is yea and amen. It's only God that the Bible said that heaven and earth will pass away, but a single dot out of his word will never go unfulfilled. And it is in such person, it's such personality that you can guarantee, you know, that when you put your expectation in the hand of God, you are bound to succeed. You are bound to get a positive outcome. And it is my prayer that somebody today will come to that understanding and will put his expectation in the hand of God in the mighty name of Jesus. Praise the living Jesus. So what we are saying, in essence, is that, you know, where we put our expectation is key. Where we put our expectation actually determines the outcome. If you put your expectation, you know, like we have been encouraged today, in the hand of man, the day that man dies, that's the end of your expectation. And we see it happen, you know, over and over again. And that's why a lot of life, amen, a lot of people have misplaced their expectation. And that's why today they are now suffering the consequence. You know, a lot of people today, they are brokenhearted. A lot of people today, they have depression. A lot of people today, you know, they suffer all kind of ailment, you know, as a result of them putting their expectation, you know, where they should not put their expectation. But I am saying today that it is important that you come to that realization and take your expectation away from every other human institution, from even your own self, and put it back in the hand of God. And I pray that as we do so, God will bring every of our expectation to pass in Jesus' name. I just want to read an account for us in 2 Chronicles chapter 32. 2 Chronicles chapter 32, when we look at verse 7 to 9 to 8. It says, "Be strong and courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed, for the king of Assyria nor for all the multitude that is with him. For there be more with us than with him. Verse 8. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord God, our God, to help us and to fight our battle. And the people rested themselves from the word of Hezekiah, the king of Judah. You see, it's an account of the people of the children of Israel that another king came to wage war against them. You know, by number, this king went and recruited. You know, by sheer number, this king, you know, is like a multitude. It's like it's more than them. Physically, there's no way they're going to win that war. There's no way they could win that war because the Assyrian army, the king of Assyria and the army, they were outnumbered, the people of Israel. But this guy, the king, actually, you know, encouraged them. That look, when we put our expectation in the hand of God, God is bound to deliver. God is sure bound to deliver. But, you know, the other king, they put their hand in their arsenal, in their gun, in their tank. But if you read that story further, they were utterly destroyed. They were utterly demolished. And that is how it is. When we put our trust in God, nothing can come against that trust. You know, but when we put our trust, our expectation in the arm of flesh, the arm of flesh will definitely fail. And that is why I am encouraging you tonight. Brethren, it is important you are out there. Maybe you've been disappointed before. Maybe, you know, you've misplaced your expectation and you've burnt your finger as a result. God is saying that hope is not lost. That expectation can still come to pass. I said that expectation over your children can still come to pass. That expectation over your husband, over your wife can still come to pass. And that's why all you just need to do now is to withdraw such expectation, you know, from any human being and put it back in the hand of God. And as you do so, know of a guarantee that expectation will be met in Jesus' name. And as I close, I want to tell you the greatest expectation. The greatest expectation is for you to know that you are going to be with the Lord on the last day. And that is the expectation, you know, of heaven that every man must have. Without the expectation of heaven, I'm telling you, everything that we are doing here is non-grata. And so I want to encourage you that the ultimate expectation is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says in Revelation that, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is me to give to every man according to how his work shall be. So what I'm advocating to you today, that if you are not going to even have any expectation at all, please have the expectation that there is, you know, that Jesus Christ is coming back again. Have the expectation that you want to make it to heaven, because that is the ultimate of any human being. And that's why God has called every man to repentance. Amen. So when you repent and you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, that is what guarantees this mother of all expectation. That is expectation to be with the Lord on the last day. Expectation to make it to paradise. And I pray that as I've encouraged you tonight, that you will take your expectation from every other human institution, from even yourself, from your husband, from your wife, even from your children, and repose that expectation and put it in the hand of God. And as you do so, I guarantee you that every of such expectation will begin to come to pass one after the other in the mighty name of Jesus. Because that is the only area, that is the only way by which you can guarantee your expectation. That is the only way that you can secure your expectation. And I pray that every of our expectation from tonight, from today, shall be delivered in the mighty name of Jesus. And there will be no more disappointment in Jesus' name. Praise the living Jesus. So the word has been said. So if you want to give your life to Christ, please don't hesitate to do so, because that is the best. And that is what all this expectation is all about. You know, like I said, where you place your expectation, you know, is what determines the outcome. So today, that life that you have, if you put it in the hand of Jesus, I guarantee you that you are going to be the best for it. And I pray that God will help us and help our understanding in the mighty name of Jesus. So let's say a word of prayer. Let's say a word of prayer. Father, we thank you again for tonight. We appreciate your faithfulness. We appreciate your loving kindness. We thank you, Father, for this wonderful grace that you have granted unto us again to hear your word and to share your word. Lord, I ask that as many that have heard this word and are ready to put their expectation in your hand, Father, you will take such expectation and you begin to bring it to pass in the mighty name of Jesus. And are there any that have been broken-hearted right now, Holy Spirit of God, I ask that you will comfort them in the mighty name of Jesus. And you will grant them, Father, Lord God, that grace to, you know, to withdraw their expectation from every human institution, even from themselves, and to place that expectation in you. Father, grant them, Father, Lord God, that grace today in the mighty name of Jesus. And like I've encouraged, please, the greatest expectation is that of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's an expectation that every man born of a woman must have. And therefore, Lord, I pray today that let this expectation be real in every one of us in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for this we do. We receive it in as with thanksgiving. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen, 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 amen. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Pastor David. Thank you very much. And that's powerful. Where you put your expectation will determine your outcome. That's powerful. Yeah, that's powerful, yeah. So, where you place your expectation, you know, if you place your expectation in man, that will determine how things are going to turn up. Your outcome probably might be disappointment, betrayal, but if you put your trust in the Lord or you put your expectation in God, victory is going to be yours. So thank you very much. Thank you, my pastor.
You're welcome.
And I believe that somebody's life is being transformed. So trust in the Lord with all your heart.
Amen.
In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. So I'm going to have a quick commercial break and I'll come back to you as soon as possible. Thank you very much and God bless you, Pastor David.
God bless
from
you.
From the Redeemed Christian Church as well. God is good. Now let's take a quick music break from our sister Amara Dara.
Heard a voice inside of me saying no ma brawa, mi nya baby na ma fa. Aba, na man kume na, nesu se no vi doma. Ano no po me chui dom, o nya mi na, no no me na, o no me na, no no me na. Abre brese na su nye ne chi me, ami ana mi da mi da, se se wa ya mo di shi o. Se mi re kwa mi e, mi re kwa mi re be ai. Eje na mi no o kame, mri je ni 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 wa da. Yeah, ni 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 buanda, hey me re me re. Hey, you know me no. Ringa ni 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 bo. Hey, hey me know me no. Hey, you know me no. Ringa wundi ni buanda, hey wundi ni buanda.
Radio Kwaba 104.6 FM, sponsored by the Ghana Association of New Zealand. So yeah, we're live on Facebook now. And those of you, if you join us on Facebook, please share the video among your friends. Share the video among your friends. I'm in the studio here, and today it's going to have a wonderful topic. Issues affecting the African community and relating to how well we participate in issues affecting the New Zealand as a society, or not probably those in Australia, those in the US, those in UK as well, how you guys participate in terms of issues affecting our community. So let's listen to this one coming from one from the camp of Nana Kwame and Nero X. You just heard from as well. You just heard from the camp, also from the Redeemed Christian Church. Pastor David was right in the studio here, and he said something powerful. Where you put your expectation will determine the outcome. So where you if you put your expectation in man, the outcome is going to be possibly disappointment or betrayal. But if you put your trust in the Lord, the outcome will be a good thing for you. And so just a quick announcement right from the camp of our brother Frank Asubo. Frank is sending a container to Ghana. Frank is sending a container to Ghana, and he would like the Ghanaian community in New Zealand to be aware that he sent a container to Ghana in October. So those of you who are in Auckland who want to send items to Ghana to Ghana for your families in Ghana to celebrate Christmas, we would like to encourage you. Please get in touch with Frank, and he will be able to send them to you and your wonderful family. So very soon I'm going to walk into the studio here, and I've got a wonderful Isabel has joined us on Facebook. Thanks for joining us, Isabella. Thanks for joining us. And once you join us, share the video. And those of you who are in Australia, in the UK, and different part of the world, once you join us, tell us where you are joining us from, and I'm going to shout out to you and your wonderful friend. Okay, yeah. So, Kofi Tano, you've joined us. Kofi Tano, so you should just share the video among your friends. Kofi, I know you are in Australia now. Share the video among your friends. This is Radio Akwaaba 104.6, sponsored by the Ghana Association of New Zealand. I'm going to walk into the studio very soon. And once I walk into the studio, I'm going to be able to talk to two wonderful people here. And I go... Osei in the studio. Osei is a trained lawyer, I'll say. He's a trained lawyer, and also he's very much involved in the in the ministry of God. And I'll probably give him a good opportunity to talk about something that he's probably have going on. That is something about the Isotope Conference. I'll give him an opportunity to just let the audience know what is happening in the Isotope Conference. And I've got Emmanuel Badu also right in the studio here. He's a PhD student, and he's my regular guest. And of course, Freddie, unfortunately, for one reason or the other, wasn't able to join us today, but very soon, I think he's going to join us someday, maybe next week. Yeah, so I mean, so the topic for discussion today is okay, so Rosemond has just joined us on Facebook also, so please share the video, yeah, among your friends as well. So the topic for today is that we are going to discuss issues affecting the African community. Election just happened, and still we are waiting, you know, and probably people have forgotten, or people are probably losing focus on the fact that election just took place. And there are issues affecting the African community, and not only in is these issues are not peculiar to New Zealand, and those of you in Australia, those of you in UK, those of you in the USA, in France, and some of you, I know some of you watch us from Dubai and UAE and different part of the world as well, and it affects you guys as well. But here we are here to talk about specific issues. How well are we involved in the process in the community, in the country that we live in? Also about education, about health, how we are able to assess those information. Those are very important issues, and these wonderful guests are going to sit here have got a lot of wide range of knowledge in terms of law knowledge and issues affecting the community as well, to tell us how well are we doing, or whether we can even do a bit more. So once you join us on Facebook, let us know where you are joining us from, and I'll be able to shout out to you and your wonderful family. So once I walk into the studio here, I'm going to just have a quick music from the camp of NeuroX. And after that, I'll come to the studio here with my wonderful guests here. So let's go to NeuroX soon.
If you do good, you do for yourself. If you do bad, you do for yourself. Miss Jama, na onye wunya miyo. Miss Jama, uncle, na onye wunya miyo. Na webu watan wasasido. Baby, bundaleva, galaba, shh. Anya wude. Skin pain. Anya kufuna wana wana mawa kanzabno. Hey, malame ya.
So those of you who are in Ghana, you are just waking up, or some of you are on the way to work, are you just praying that the Lord will take you successfully to Ghana and just have to your workplaces and just have a wonderful time at work, and may the day be successful day. But those of us in New Zealand, Australia, in this part of the world, probably you are coming from work to home, wherever it is, please have a safe trip home and have a wonderful evening. So I'll start with in the studio here. Osei is in the studio here. So Osei, why don't you just take a bit of time to tell us about ICTOP conference. What has happened at ICTOP conference?
Okay, thank you, Kojo. Early this year, I had an opportunity to go to Australia, Sydney, and we had a conference there where we brought together a lot of church workers, ministers, young people in particular, and we decided that we would have one annual one in Australia and one in New Zealand, and there's one happening in Ghana and elsewhere, because I belong to a WhatsApp group called Revive for God. So just a group of young people. We talk about God. We discuss Christian topics. So this month, October, from 19th to 22nd, we're welcoming the Australian contingent to come. They are coming to Auckland, and we're inviting everyone to come. It is a stay on camp overnight, but we are inviting people to come in the evenings just to come and support and also I'm encouraging especially the Ghanaians, that so most of the people that are coming from Australia are Ghanaians, so it would be nice to meet them and, you know, have a one or two say to them, and at least you make some connections when you go to Australia. You know someone, or Sydney in particular. We've got people coming from Adelaide, Melbourne and Sydney. Mm-hmm. So if you want more information, just contact me on my Facebook or on the Gatekeepers Ministries page on Facebook, and we'll give you more information. Yeah, but I encourage everyone to come out.
Okay, sure. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, so ICTOP conference. Because when I first heard that, I was like, oh, this sounds very chemistry. Yeah, so okay. Okay, so
We are. I know you are involved in African community because you got a ministry. You talk to the Africans. You are involved in. You studied law and different aspects, different things. But we talk about you, and I know you follow the election. The process. I saw you're very active and still active. Yeah. How did you find the election? Was it in terms of the African participation? Were the Africans very much involved, or think we could have done better?
I think in terms of discussions and, back and forth, because I talked to a lot of African guys, and there was a lot of interest. And this is probably the first election in New Zealand I've actually realized that Africans were that engaged. In terms of maybe voting, there was a lot of talk, but I don't know how many people, because we don't have the data, as we always say. So, but if gauging from discussions and enthusiasm and in the banter and everything, I guess people were quite engaged. And I, for one, on my Facebook, as much as I'm a public servant, I try not to get involved, but, you know, because I was quite passionate about this. You know, it gets to a point where you realize this is home, you know. for some of us, we've been here for a while and in and out of this place. So I guess because I was quite passionate about the election, and it came down to was that actually I see this place as home. Because I've not even actually, in all honesty, not been this passionate about politics, even Ghanaian politics, for a while. You know, so for me to be this involved and this engaged, it means that I'm actually finding or realizing, or maybe perhaps now I have a daughter in this country, I'm realizing, you know, this is for all of us. So what I'll say to the Africans is, I don't think we're no longer just migrants just passing through, you know. And some of us, whether we like it or not, have been here for over 2 decades. And it's high time we start realizing that this is second home. So we cannot just be passengers and let people vote and people decide our future because we've got kids here. And so whether we like it or not, maybe we have decided we will move back home, but our kids are here. So I think we need to get involved. But like, back to your question, in terms of engagement, there was a lot of banter here and there, and people showed where they were. So if that is any good gauge, people did get quite involved.
So what about in terms of the local government election, like the council? Because somebody, I can't remember where I heard this, but I'm not sure whether it's from Ima or Kwesi Freddy, but is it about time some Africans in New Zealand have to get actively involved in the election process, whether it been national election or the local elections?
I know one particular brother who is very involved, but for out of respect, I'll probably not name him. So this and he's Ghanaian. He was involved. He was very quite active in Manuera and helping out with the National Party campaign, handing out flyers. I was involved. I handed out flyers in my neighborhood, not necessarily for the party I voted for, but I was engaged in it. I wanted to support a candidate that I thought was doing well. This was a migrant candidate who was, I think, around 24 years old.
Oh, yeah, is it the one from
Botany?
Botany, yeah, okay, yeah.
Around 24 years old, and she's put herself out there. She's campaigning. And I'm like, well, you know what? I would have wished it was an African, but I told her, and I walked up to her and I said, look, regardless of the outcome, you know, this is just a test run. You know, just to even put your name out there is because National is quite strong in Botany.
Yeah.
So she was standing for Green. So I encouraged her. She came to my house. You know, she came to meet my family. So I said, you know what, just give me flyers. I'll go drop it off. So when I was dropping off the flyers, I had my wife in the car. The whole family was doing the thing. So my wife was at one point just breastfeeding in the car. So for me, on an engagement level, I felt like I had my whole family was engaged in this election. So so I just and I know another brother, a Ghanaian, who was very engaged, and you know him, Presido, he's quite active as well. So I'm hoping that, you know, our teenagers, our young people are taking notes and actually get involved. And I think it starts from school. I went to school with Kizito, and we were all involved in leadership, and we came to AUT. He was there at one point. Kizito was actually student president for 2 years running, and he was the first African president.
There are a lot of people say they want to they can't hear you, so if you can speak a bit louder.
I can't gauge my volume. So like I said, he was involved in student leadership, and for some design we all ended up in AUT. So at one point he was the student president, and I was a law society president. So it was quite remarkable to have two Africans. But I think it goes back to student leadership. Because you notice that the people that are in school, they go into leadership, even in Ghana, are the people that end up in politics. So Chloe, for example, Chloe ran for Auckland mayoral election.
Yeah.
And she came third, admirably came third. And now she's in parliament.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you see, so I just think that we should then get, it's not, we don't wait till the end and try and get the community involved. It should start from school. Is there SRC... is there a school prefect? Is there anything, head girl, head boy? That's where you encourage people to engage at that time. Because once you start doing those things right at the get-go, definitely the person will get involved in all these kind of...
Okay, so and also some say, you are very much actively involved in ministry. Some say Christianity and politics doesn't go together. One of my friends told me that last time.
Yeah.
He's like, this is... Christianity and politics is a very dangerous combination. What do you say to that?
you know, it's very funny, and I think it's quite misguided.
Mm.
That statement is quite misguided. Because if you look into the history of clergymen, right, the history of clergymen, most back in the days, those were clergymen were very involved in politics. Because what is politics? Politics is looking out for the welfare of the society. So, for example, Martin Luther. You know, Martin Luther, all of them were into ministry. So I guess my passion for souls and for people and for their spiritual being, also that it does overflow to social well-being and whatnot. So for me, when you see my passion for politics, it's not to do with necessarily power or post, but to, if you notice most of the my dialogue with you, I was always talking about the welfare of the people.
Yes, yeah,
the welfare of people. Yeah. So for me, and I always tell people, I'm a social democrat.
Yeah.
And in every country, I'll find a party that I align with. So I'm not red or blue in New Zealand. My political philosophy is social democracy. You know, so in every country, I will find a party that I align with my beliefs. I may not believe in all their policies, but overall, generally, there will be a party that I align with. And I encourage people, you know, politics is not for non-believers. You know, I encourage Christians, if you're a Christian, you're passionate about leadership, and you're passionate about your community, you're passionate about what's going on around you, I encourage you to go into to be involved in politics. You don't necessarily have to lie to be in politics. I think that that's also another misconception. And so maybe the politics we know back home, I think, you know, in order to get involved in politics, you have to lie, you have to be corrupt, you have to do that. I disagree. I was quite impressed with some pastors, particularly I heard from, because I have someone that goes to Pastor Friday's church. So Pastor Friday actually was pushing people, go and vote, make sure you vote. Go and vote. They had a prayer session, but he said, well, after praying, please go and vote. So I encourage people that are in power or people that are in leadership, especially in churches.
Yeah.
Even if we're not expecting people to jump on Facebook to have long arguments and stuff, but you need to, if you are leading people in the community, you need to, you know, galvanize them, encourage them to go and vote. And I think that's the least you can do as someone who has the ears of many people in the community. It is a responsibility, actually, from the pulpit, to be honest.
Yeah,
so it's a civil duty. As much as I'm a Christian, I have civil duties, and politics becomes part of that.
Okay, sure. Yeah. So as long as you are a Christian, you got a civil duty, and election politics comes along. Emma, what is your take? I know you got a strong view on this, because many times you have re-echoed the call from the president of Ghana about the need that we should get off the fence and be involved and be a Ghanaian, but in this situation, be a Kiwi or be a New Zealander or whichever environment that we find ourselves, to be actively involved. What is your take on this, especially the issue of about Christians getting themselves involved in politics?
Okay, so I think the pastor has spoken, and who am I to contradict what my pastor said? Pastor can allow, okay. Pastor says you get involved. But you see, I like his submission. I like the part that he talks in terms of the looking at what people have done over the period, in terms of the argument, getting churches to be involved and all that, which is positive. And I don't know much about elections in New Zealand, because it's the first time I witnessed it and I participated in it. So I don't know what the previous events had been. So I'm hoping that you get the data That's my prayer, that probably we'll look at ways and means to find it and try to make meaning out of it and see. Because I think it's one way that we can begin to make our claim. Again, I go back to that, because the data is non-existent. And if you listen to the, I think the statistics New Zealand is saying that they are projecting the Asian community to be the second in the next, I think, 2020 and 2038. And so those are things that we need to also begin to look at in terms of how do we influence these things and how do we make claims for our own people. But as he's going back to what he said in terms of some of our own getting into or getting involved to run for offices. I think you asked the question about the local elections and all that. And I think that's also crucial. And I want to suggest that for those who are interested and those who have been on the front line, it's always good to get yourselves involved, get the people in the community to know, share your ambitions with people. It may not take much. Of course, it's politics. But the moment you begin to build that mass, then of course you get some of us as well to be part of that process. And then you begin to see how we can push that. Because for nothing at all, I think we deserve a seat. We need somebody. We need somebody. And I think if you are looking 3 years from today, something we can begin to work at it. So let's, I don't know whoever, but I've seen a couple, I think I share with him. I'm not here to this. I've seen a couple of them on Facebook and people sharing pictures on what they are doing. But I think we need to get, people should just be bold, disclose it, let's know. And then we begin to look at the processes and roadmap on how to get people into to represent us. I think we need that.
Okay, so just before we go ahead, I'll just read some few Facebook comments. Okay, I'll talk about those. Emmanuel Inkum says, well spoken, man of God. Isabella, okay, well, I've read your comment, and Emmanuel Badu, Nana Badu's comment as well. We were talking about earlier on, you couldn't hear. Stanley Aqua, so he's just shouting out to us. Emmanuel Inkum says, God is strategically placing his soldiers in various parts of government, and that is, I think, very important. So, if you're a Christian, that to be because mostly we tend to be the most the first people to complain when things are not going well. But then, when it's time to make a decision, we try to take ourselves out of the project. So, you might go ahead,
yeah. But again, I think so. And the part that he's also encouraging the youth to be involved is also very good. And so, the earlier we start, the better, yeah. But as well as trying to encourage anybody who has a good will to be involved. I think sometimes you may gain the experiences from student leadership and all that, but there are lots of people who might not, but you can still, regardless of where you find yourself, make an impact. And you can, it's better to start early. Get yourself into voluntary, get yourself to be known within the party structures, and then you begin to build your own, you build yourself as much as possible. I think we need to, and I think it goes back to what he said in terms of Christianity. I'm not going to look at religion here, but I think that no matter who you are, there's always that responsibility that's been bestowed on you by society. If you find yourself in a position that can be of help to others, you stretch a hand to help. It's not just about, we can't continue to think that people will do it for us. We should be responsible enough to be part of that process of nation building. It's not so much about, and I think sometimes the misconception is we sometimes see ourselves so much as just transient. We are just here for a moment and we are normal. And so why bother? But we need to begin to see that those who went, if you look at the history of Ghanaians in the UK, in the US and all that, most people went there and thought they were living. But these communities have been existing and they are growing and they are becoming bigger. And so you're seeing lots of them participating in government. And that's what we need to be looking at. So 3 years, 6 years, 9 years from now, there should be that plan where we know that we have identified some few people that we are supporting and we are pushing. And so that then it even affirms that the society respects us, accepts us, and then we are living. Otherwise, it looks as if we are just one of those and we are just being counted. And of course, the issues about numbers is not also helping. And so I think we need to. And I don't know how we get around it, but we need to.
Okay, because I'm not sure where you stand in terms of getting a numbers and let's do this now. Let's talk about some specific issues about areas regarding education and health. You did your degree in New Zealand, and there's constant issues regarding access to education. And normally, if you are in any community, the minority group and the minority group, you tend to be disadvantaged in terms of your access to education, your ability to access education, those kind of things. But how well are the African in terms of our ability to access education? Because language could be a potential barrier. We've got a lot of refugee communities as well. How well are we in terms of access to education?
I think in terms of access, I'll probably like to break it down into subparts, so just to make it easier. So just for instance, let's just say finances.
Mm.
In New Zealand, I think anyone who actually wants to study will study, unless you don't qualify for some reason due to some technical residency. But I'm just talking to the New Zealand African citizen. If you want to study, there's a government loan system, you know, and we all got that loan. We're paying it back, you know. Our parents couldn't afford to pay off our loans. So in terms, I don't really see any strong argument for finances.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really see. Now, language, particularly, I think the problem would be in the non-English-speaking communities or the refugee communities. But my understanding is I know someone who came to New Zealand and learned English from the refugee camp, now has got degrees in law and is a lawyer. And so I just don't really see, even if it's a language, I think that there are the Citizens Advice Bureau, there are so many agencies that can actually also help people with that. I have not come across any African who really wanted to study, but for some reason they could not study.
So what about, I mean, those in terms of access to education, like, because in terms of when you are young, most, because I've met like few African who, like, when it's time for, I don't know what they call it, parent teachers meet or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
For whatever reason, the family are not able to speak English, so they are not able to go and meet the teachers. And how difficult it is for some of them, especially for them to be able to access information, to get a support from their family.
Oh, okay,
In terms of these things, some people tend to be a lot drop out and those kind of things. But have you come across any of African community that actually struggle in terms of these areas?
Yeah, there are some. And again, it's like a generational thing where the parents can't speak English, but the kids can. And I think that's where you're hitting on.
Mm.
But that is the same for a lot of Asians.
Mm, mm, mm.
You know, that language barrier.
Yes,
it's the same. So it's not an excuse. You know, if it's a language problem, I'm sure you can tell the teachers, you know, make it a little easier for me, slow down, go to those, ask. I think parent involvement, like you said, even though your parents may not be as may not be fluent in the language, but if they are keen to support you, they'll come along. They'll come along. They'll listen to one or two things and encourage. So I don't think all parents need to have some language adequacy to support your child. So I just think that. I thought you were going to come into it because it's not everyone that has to go to university and all that stuff.
Yeah,
New Zealand has the means for trades and other things. So I don't. We shouldn't box our kids up and say they all have to do this and that. And I think they're all. They're all kind of here in New Zealand. But I'll move a step further.
Mm.
I've always begrudged the Ghanaian community, and I'll say it here, that every time we have a Independence Day, I was always hoping we start an initiative where we start like a little scholarship thing. Not big, just maybe even $1,000. $1,000 for the best graduating NCEA students. And then they get it towards their books. You know, some incentive. So when we meet on every year for Independence Day, we're all waiting for that shark. You know, like, hey, who's going to come up?
So it
becomes a little competition between the kids. You know, so that kind of fun, if you do I will pay towards it. You get for parents. So $1,000 is not much money. But just to be called in front of the community and say, I actually brought this up in age. I said, actually, we should do it in an African not just Ghana, like the whole African community, where we have annual community awards, so we can give awards for radio, like a network, because there are several African radios. There are several African businesses, right? So on that platform, where we acknowledge so-and-so got his PhD, well done. So it's not that we just meet up and just have fun. So we become a society where we kind of like affirm and acknowledge achievements. So the children are now realize that, actually, hold up, I'm not going to this party just go and boogie. You know, at the end of the day, I want to be on the podium. I want to be talked about that I'm doing this, I'm doing that. I think that if we start having that culture, we start bringing that culture in our community, the children will start aspiring for more. You know, for example, you know, this is really fun. This is 79 Carrington Road?
Yes.
I used to live in 81.
Yeah.
I used to ride a bike here.
Yeah.
When I in the 90s, when I was 9, 10.
Mm.
You know, I'm very passionate about this country, but I'm also passionate about Africans doing well in this country. You know, so it's just that we have to get back to, because I was living with my sister, her husband used to teach here at Unitech. So you see, that was my framework.
Yeah, that's what you said.
That was my framework. Yeah. You know, so there was a time in university where I was quite hard up and I was thinking, oh, I need to drop out. I couldn't drop out because I knew the expectations of me. You've gone to Fansipim, you know, your family expect this of you, So sometimes we need to, you know, the expectation needs to be created from the community and the family. Asians create that community and expectation. So that's why they're high achievers. So I think it's high time that we actually, as a collective, that we're not, like you said, we're no longer just migrants coming to make money in New Zealand and leave and go build mansions in Ghana or wherever. That we're no longer passengers, but we're actually integral to this community, and we have to play our part. And part of it to lift this community up is through education. We have to we have to encourage education. And it starts from initiatives like that. We can't sit there for the local MP to do that for us. But we can, as Africans, we can come together and call it the Cora Awards yearly. I will come. I'll sit in the front if you want. Call it the Cora Awards. We acknowledge African excellence in education, in community, in anything, you know. And let's start building that kind of culture so our children will see that it's not just about having two jobs and breaking your back and, you know, and you're buying houses or what. But there's more to this. So the idea of being a migrant is that your children live a better life than you.
Yes.
So whatever you came to New Zealand to do, your children must not do the same thing, but they must live a better life. You know, so that's the idea of being a migrant. So I'm quite passionate about that.
Sure, you're quite passionate about that. Okay, so, Ima, so we've talked about issue regarding education, access to education, and how it could be different aspect of access to education in terms of, what is your take? Because I'm pretty sure in your research you must have come across some of the challenges in terms of with Africans' ability to access education.
Yeah, I think there are two things, and I like his first part, which is looking at what we can do in our own, in ourselves, and I think that's the first call, which is there's a saying that goes, the first person to your heart is yourself. So the first person to take care of yourself is yourself. But again, there's that element that society needs to do to support the weaker ones. And I think that's the part that it probably, and I like his focus, which is getting people to be more assertive, to be to own our own lives and be responsible for it. But again, in terms of finances, and I think that's what the question was, if you look at it carefully, there are instances where you find that there are not as many scholarships for the African community as there are for the other communities. And that is a fact. And so that, and then for us to look at that, we probably would need more advocacy, and I keep saying this every day. And that's what I like so much about the submission today, because it's throwing us more challenge in terms of what we can do for ourselves. And I think that's one thing that for most of us, we're still not broken away from. We still live in the lives that we used to back home, where we still look at so much in terms of people supporting us, in terms of dependency, rather than looking ourselves in the strengths that we have. Because within the community, as he sits here, he's a trained lawyer. Within the community, there are people with different potential, different skill set. But if we are going to harness these potentials, we can do far, far reaching better than we are doing now. And there are some communities that are doing it. For example, the Nigerian community, they are doing the independence, I think, on Saturday. And every year, they award people. They give award scheme for their own kids. And that it might not be too grand, it might not be the most beautiful, but it sparks that sense of competition within the community. And that's, those are things we need to be thinking about. But again, in terms of language, it's a barrier. And I know that it's a barrier. But again, as he said, the excuses, we may not be able to forever be giving excuses and try to hold on to what we can do. If we become assertive, if we become more, if we put out our own issues in the way we want people to hear it, of course, people will get to listen and accept who we are. You talked about the Asian community. The challenge we have is about the same as they do. But again, the demands they make of their kids sometimes is more than the demands we make of our kids. And so they push themselves, they go beyond the boundaries to do the extra. And again, it comes back to the ownership of our community. Who owns our community? There are so many organizations and you don't find, and I think we've talked about this, I don't know the number of times you've done this, and we always go back to Akofi. But you don't, you only see Akofi during African Day. You only see Akofi during the youth celebration. But if you look at, for example, tobacco control, the Asian community took the lead. They did a study. They partnered with the health services to do a study to see tobacco control, they can help that within their own community. They led it. And you see, if you go back to what we in this country, their own their treaty, and in terms of how we should work together in partnership with these organizations, what are we doing? How well have we come out with a study or anything that shows that these are, because as we speak, most of this is guesswork, because you don't know the data. How many of our kids are in school? How many of them are not? How many of them are dropping out? I've spoken to some leaders who think that some of our kids are falling, they are dropping, they are not in school. They are not doing as they should do. I don't know the data on NCEA levels. How many of them are achieving it? How many of them are dropping? How many of them are being enrolled into trades? We don't have the data. And what is the role of organizations then? What are they doing about it? Of course, if we say what are they doing, it's as if we are pointing accusing fingers on our leaders. We are not. What we are saying is people in leadership positions should begin to look at what we can do for ourselves on our own. We can't continually depend on others to do it for us. So there should be that leadership that will lead us in terms of what we can do and what we should do about our own community.
Okay, so while, let me go to Facebook and just get some few Facebook comments. It's okay, so Akia from Haiti, she's a regular viewer from Haiti, she's always watching us, and she says it's true talk. She was asking about what language do New Zealand speak, and we speak English. And I think a bit of Maori as well. I'm
not sure. The two official languages.
Frank also has joined us on Facebook. So, President.
Maori and sign language.
And a sign language as well.
Those are the two official. Maori and sign language.
Maori and sign language. Yes. Okay, yeah. So Rosemont says, well said, regarding the good initiative regarding the scholarship and stuff as well. So, yeah, it looks like something is happening out there. Okay, so let's come to adaptation. And I think I'm going to start with you, Wasser, because You've lived here for quite a while, and I've spoken to many African. Those of you who are listening to us on 104.6, very soon we're probably going to go offline, but you can go to the Ghana Association of New Zealand Facebook page, and you can actually view us live from there. So the issue regarding adaptation, you live here for quite a while, and the struggle most people have is, I'm a Ghanaian or Zimbabwean, Ethiopian, and my family expect me to live life at home as an Ethiopian, but when I go out, I'm expected to live my life as a Kiwi. And the challenge, and the last time one of the girls from the New Zealand Commonwealth Fair Trust, the youth coordinator, I forgot her name, she came here and she mentioned this is a big problem for many African children in African community, because it's such a struggle, most of them are living home. What is your experience in this, in terms of the issue regarding adaptation? We move here, how do we live our life, as Kiwis or as Africans? And most of the case, they prefer to live their life as Kiwis. But then at home, we want them to live their life as Africans. And what kind of advice would you give to the parent here and say, how do we go about this kind of thing without having to lose the kids, having to leave home very early?
Okay, this is quite interesting. I think adaptation is a problem in our community, because we have to look at ourselves first. We want to belong to, and I'll be as blunt as possible. We want to belong to, excuse me, say we want to just be exclusively African church. We want to we have only African friends. A lot of Africans, if I were to tell them to give me 5 Kiwi friends on my finger, they'll find a problem. They'll find a problem. So what I'm saying is, in terms of parents, I'm not going to tell what parents should do or should not do, but what you have to realize is that if you bring your children